Well, we'll have them in spirit anyway. That'll be good.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right, lovely. Well, stand by and, Alfred, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
We're just live.
Okay. Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward Delight, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on the nature of consciousness and life continuum as revealed through near-death experiences and related spiritually transformative experiences. Some of the topics include what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communication, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature a stellar roster of special guests with experiences on research in the realm of NDEs and related topics. For more information about our organization, Toward Delight, and this radio program, please visit our website, towardthelight.org and towardthelight.info. The message that comes from the near-death experience, the prevailing message, and indeed there have been millions of us at this point who have come back to share this message, is that life is eternal, that we do not lose consciousness with death of the body. What that means is that we are very, very powerful beings, and having this knowledge will generate a lot of power. Our heritage is divine. We are not little helpless beings who terminate when our bodies die. We do live forever. So consciousness is the key here. And the interesting thing is that there appears to be war against consciousness. And I'm not exaggerating when I say this. And there is a very sinister and monstrous device that is in the works right now. And it is called the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, better known as HAARP, H-A-A-R-P, which is inflicting great damage not only to the solar system, but to this planet and even to individuals. And it is here to interfere with our consciousness and a whole lot more. I have got a very special panel of wonderful souls who are very, very wise and knowledgeable, not to mention that they've all got a heart as big as the sun, with us here today on Toward the Light. So let us welcome Mr. Alfred Weber. Hello, Alfred.
Yes, I'm very happy to join you.
And it's wonderful to have you with us. And we've also got David Icke. Hello, David.
Hello, Juliet.
It's wonderful to have you with us. And we've got Kathy O'Brien. Kathy, are you there?
Yes, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's wonderful to have you. And because of a meeting that is going on right now, Mark Phillips is not able to join us. But we've still got a very powerful panel here. And so let's get started, because it was a very interesting sort of incident that led to the actually bringing about this special panel today. Something that happened to me a few months ago, and I actually was on the verge of transitioning by all rights. It was really quite scary. What happened is that an intuitive question came to me kind of out of the blue. Has Hop got something to do with this? A couple of days later, I got a remarkable email from Alfred Weber about his ExoPolitics radio show where he was featuring a three-part series dedicated to HARP, where he featured the scientist Lauren Moray. And it was very, very interesting what I found out when I listened to those shows, and I realized, well, I'm not being paranoid here. There's definitely something to this. So I want to start right now. Alfred, if you don't mind commenting on this and sharing what you know about just what HARP is, and then I want to talk to you, Kathy, because I know that your time might be limited on the air as well today. So, Alfred, if you can share with us a bit about HARP and what you know about it and how it works.
Yes, thank you very much. And first, I want to acknowledge the expertise on HARP of all of our guests. David, who has a very distinguished background and record of exposing and reporting on HARP, as does Kathy. Our perspective on HARP was to expose it as really the consummate weapon of what we call the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization. It's a weapon, the ultimate weapon of ecocide, planetcide, and consciousness. It is also the primary anti-extraterrestrial weapon, and we call it an invisible weapon, because it's a space-based weapon of mass destruction, and it has three major weapon systems components, each of which is invisible. The space-based component of HARP is invisible because it weaponizes a natural system, which is the Earth's ionosphere, one of the uppermost layers of the atmosphere is weaponized by HARP and turned into a weapon which points outward at the upper dimensional ethical extraterrestrial fleet, and it points inward that is able to create hurricanes, earthquakes. It's able to destroy cities. It's able to pinpoint individuals. It's able to footprint entire continents and manage entire populations. There's an air-based component to HARP, which is likewise invisible, and that is what we know as chemtrails. And chemtrails are used as a frequency reflector between the ground-based component we'll explain in a moment, which is likewise invisible, and its space-based component to extend the reach and intensity of HARP. And chemtrails, which contain many toxic elements, are also a binary weapon system against the human population, part of a depopulation program by a corrupt elite and an international war crimes racketeering organization to bring about a depopulation program of our species and other species, between a third to two-thirds, perhaps even more, on this planet, and turn it into a theme park, an elite theme park where only a specific genetic strain, mainly Zionists, will remain on the planet. The final component, which is likewise invisible, is the ground-based component, and these are HARP ground stations which energize the entire system and weaponize the ionosphere. And these are located around the planet in Alaska, Norway, Greenland. There's one in Pine Gap, Australia that's being built now. And these are disguised as research facilities. And the reason why the airbase is invisible
is because they are officially not recognized. Certainly any air force, the U.S. Air Force, the Canadian Air Force, the Australian Air Force, the European Air Forces, will not talk about them. Any newspaper, any politician, any government official, any government of the world that officially speaks about or recognizes chemtrails will be destroyed as an economic entity immediately. So that's why they are. And there are multiple weapon systems, weapons functions to HAARP, which I'll just list, and then I'll turn it back to you, Juliet, and that is that they are the prime anti-extraterrestrial weapon. They are an SDI strategic defense initiative radio frequency weapon. They're an environmental warfare weapon, a weather and earthquake warfare. That is, they qualify as a space-based weapon of mass destruction. If you look at the estimated death toll of the May 3rd Myanmar cyclone, that was about 150,000 plus the May 2008 China earthquake. Those together are more than 140,000, which was the Hiroshima earthquake. So therefore, they are a weapon of mass destruction, and both of those events were caused by HAARP. HAARP is also a space warfare system, a missile defense system. It uses scalar energy warfare against land and population targets, including cities, industrial sites, buildings, populations, and individuals. It's an ELS weapon with electromagnetic harassment and mood manipulation of target populations and individuals. And it's a biological and binary weapon system against populations with chemtrail components. What I'd like to say very briefly is that we at the Institute for Cooperation in Space at peaceofspace.com have developed the Space Preservation Treaty with an independent outer space peacekeeping agency with the explicit purpose of banning all space-based weapons, including HAARP, which is very explicitly set out there. And so we're now gathering nations to sign up. They voted 178-1 against space-based weapons, and there are nations that want to stop HAARP. Thanks.
This is really interesting, because when I think of the issues with the extraterrestrials, you know, we're talking about other dimensions and other realms. You know, that there's so much of a flat earth mentality that prevails in our world, that people are still in denial that other dimensions and other life forms even exist. And then, of course, there's the crazy naysayers like Susan Blackmore, for example, who insists that consciousness comes from the brain, which it does not. And so there's, again, these flat earth mentality types. And, you know, it's no surprise that all of this kind of stuff is going on. Again, the warfare against consciousness, against our being multidimensional and multisensory beings, not just five sensory. And it was really clear when I was walking the other day, I believe this last Tuesday, I looked up into the sky and I saw a bunch of chemtrails going on. How anyone can be in denial that these things are taking place is beyond me, because they've made these specific, distinct patterns across the sky. And it just has got me gobsmacked, and I saw that and I thought, oh, blimey, here we go. David, would you like to comment on this, Len? What would you like to share with us about all of this with HAARP and what you know about it? And Kathy, I want to talk to you too about this. So go ahead, Len.
Well, I'm with Alfred on what he said about all those different things, because one thing you learn when you research anything in this field is it's very rarely the case, if ever, that you find something that is happening for one reason. There's normally multi-level reasons. But the way HAARP primarily interests me and all the things that Alfred talked about, but my prime interest is how the foundation of this global conspiracy, we can talk about banking scams and political scams and engineered wars and everything, but the prime bottom line foundation from which everything else comes is to manipulate humanity to have a false identity of itself. It wants humanity to identify with the reflection in the mirror that it is the physical body. And when we are consciousness, infinite consciousness, and, you know, Kathy O'Brien, David Icke, Alfred Weber is not who we are, it's what we're experiencing. We are consciousness. And the more that I have researched this, the deeper I got into it, the key level of this whole conspiracy is A, that false identity, and B, technological and other ways that are used to stop what perhaps Kathy and people would call soul consciousness from connecting and therefore driving the awareness and sense of identity of the physical body. For me, the physical body is a biological computer, a holographic biological computer of great advancement beyond anything that we call computers today. And it's also a crystalline receiver transmitter of information. And when you think that we have trillions of cells and every cell membrane is crystalline, when you think that DNA is crystalline, and only last week I was with a brilliant man in Northern California who was showing me blood under a microscope with fantastically powerful you know, it really got very deep, deeper than I've ever seen blood before with this microscope. And if anyone doesn't think the body is crystalline, they should have seen the blood at the level that I saw it was crystalline. And therefore, if you can disconnect or imbalance the body computer receiver transmitter's ability to receive information, so that you can narrow the band of frequencies that is accessing, therefore you're narrowing the band of potential awareness. You're making it difficult by imbalancing the body in various ways for consciousness to express itself through the body. If you can have the best computer programmer in the world, symbolic of consciousness, but if the computer on the desk in front of him is not functioning as it should, he is not going to get his genius through that computer. And it's the same with soul consciousness. If the body computer is not operating correctly and it's not receiving, transmitting correctly, then you're not going to express your potential genius through this body computer. And for me, the manipulation of humanity can't get to soul consciousness. It's vibrating too quickly. These people can't access that. What they can access and what they do access is the body computer level of reality. And the idea is to disconnect us from an awareness or and a connection to that higher soul consciousness, so that we become isolated in what I call body consciousness, which is the genetic structure and the auric field, the electromagnetic field. And if we can get isolated in body consciousness instead of looking to our higher levels of awareness to get a fix on who we are, the nature of reality and the world that we're experiencing and what's going on, we look through the five senses into this world to try and get a fix on it. And of course, the information that the five senses are constantly receiving through the mainstream media, through what we bravely call education and all the rest of it, is to program the body consciousness level of reality with a false identity, a false understanding of who we are, where we are, and the nature of the world that we're experiencing. And for me, a key level of this whole heart thing is to manipulate and disrupt the body computer's ability to access and connect with higher soul consciousness. Because if you want to affect every fish, then what do? You affect the ocean. And there is a multi-leveled attack on the energy field around the planet that we are living in every day. And in there, you've got the microwaves, you've got the electromagnetic disruption, and you've got the heart disruption. I mean, in Britain, there are even mainstream newspaper articles now about this, what they call the electromagnetic fog that we're all living in, and how it's affecting us on a health level. Well, it is, but it's affecting us on a consciousness level, a thought level as well. And I'll just finish on this for the moment. I feel that HARP and connected technologies are also in the business of sending out literally thought fields, belief fields, into the energy that we are living in and experiencing every day, on frequencies designed to be picked up by the body computer receiver transmitter. And we can pick those up as apparent thoughts of our own, when actually we're tuning into something that is external to us. And years and years ago, I read a lot of material about Russian Soviet Union experiments in this sort of thing during the Cold War period and the communist bloc of the Soviet Union. And they were doing things like firing thought fields, vibrational fields, people like gardeners with the thought, put your tools down and go in for a cup of coffee or something. And within next to no time, these people were putting their tools down and going in for a cup of coffee. And they, of course, thought, hey, I've just had a thought. Hey, let's just have a rest and go and have a cup of coffee. And you see, we're dealing with on the inside, among the shadow people, as I call them, a level of knowledge about the nature of reality that has been kept systematically from the general population for hundreds of years. They were taking this out when they were colonizing the world and destroying the knowledge carried by the native peoples from the ancient world, all this stuff. And they've replaced it with a fake reality, a fake explanation of reality to keep us in the dark. But the thing I would absolutely emphasize here is they can't get to soul consciousness, but they can get to body consciousness, the body computer. And that's why we need to become conscious, because once we do, the tables start to turn.
And I think it's so interesting, too, how, again, so many of us in the ears are being brought back to share this very message, David, you know, that life is eternal and that we are consciousness. And as you and PMH Atwater and Dr. Peter Finnick and Kendon Lommel and myself and a number of others have pointed out so rightly, is the fact that the consciousness is the broadcaster, and the brain, or the body computer, as you so rightly call it, is the receiver of this information, and indeed it can become damaged. But at the same time, what's interesting is that we have come back to say, wait a minute, you know, there's something more to us than what people have been telling us, what's in the mirror, what's written on a piece of paper, which is just a piece of paper. So now the shadow people are really starting to see, wow, there's all these people coming around, catching on to the truth, and how can we snuff this? So I also want to ask all of you about how HARP does inflict this on individuals, but I'd like to hear from you, Kathy, about your input here as we're getting into this, love. So if you don't mind sharing a little bit of what your knowledge is and your experience of HARP is.
Oh, this is really wonderful getting to speak with David and Alfred on this topic, and there have been so many times I've wanted to just jump in, like we were sitting around with a cup of tea or something and having a conversation, because it's so exciting, so many of the points that have been brought out. As a U.S. government whistleblower that's bound by the Whistleblowers Protection Act from publicly speaking out on anything other than my experience, which was MK Ultra mind control on White House Pentagon level, I find that I'm really unlimited and what I can speak of, because awareness is key to maintaining free thought and to be able to understand what's happening in our world today. In essence, we've been mind controlled as a population through information control and suppression of pertinent facts, like are being brought out today on HARP. HARP is mentioned both in our congressional testimony of Transformation of America and also in Access Denied for Reasons of National Security. Both of those, of course, are available in more information at forreasonsofnationalsecurity.com. But that is the crux of our testimony and what we were dealing with. As soon as we released Trance in 1995, Mark and I went on a speaking tour around the world, and we traveled the world several times, speaking out to very large groups of people, which included, on several occasions, Australia, where at Pine Gap, they are acutely aware of HARP's second pole, the HARP that the poles that's in Alaska and the one that's in Pine Gap. It ultimately creates the span of the whole globe, where this is a worldwide problem, and it has ways of affecting not only our planet, but our consciousness, if we are not aware that that is what is causing it. Once we are aware of how we're being manipulated, we can then, you know, raise our own vibration and maintain our strength of spirit, our free thought, and not allow outside influences to come in and alter what either our attitude, our emotions, or what we know. HARP has a capacity, as is mentioned in both books, HARP has the capacity of affecting the whole consciousness of the planet, in that it can affect how we perceive things. There was a reported test use of it back in the days of the L.A. riots, when Rodney King had come out and said, "Can't we all just get along?" which was just beautiful in itself. But, HARP had a direct effect on the violence that was raised at that time. We need to be aware and have the fact of how HARP can be used to dumb people down, keep them apathetical at a time when they're wanting to keep people from rising up with knowledge and insight. They're wanting to keep things suppressed by using HARP. HARP has the capacity to do that. And having experienced mind control, that is the effect of HARP that I'm most concerned about at this point, and want people to be aware that they don't need to allow HARP to affect their vibration. Like David so wisely said to my daughter Callie years ago, when he told her that soul is stronger than genetics, it made all the difference in the world for her. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing, the way he touched her and the difference that it made for her from that point on for the rest of her life. Just to have that awareness, to realize soul is stronger than genetics. It's just that likewise, soul is stronger than HARP's vibe. There's nothing on this planet that needs to be affected stronger than what our strength of spirit and our innate love energy is. That's the ultimate, and when we're aware of that, we can maintain our strength of spirit and be able to make the positive changes necessary in this planet, which, number one needs to be to take back our technology and turn off HARP. Let's just unplug it.
Indeed, and that's such a wonderful point you're making, and also, you know, why we're doing this panel is to let people know, all right, this is what's going on, and because indeed we are infinite consciousness, we are infinite beings of light, we do have the power to rise above all of this insanity. And you and Mark are also near-death experiences. So, you know, and again, when I think about what you've been through, Kathy, goodness me, and the fact that you are still on this plane and such a triumphant spirit, you know, you're a wonderful example of the power of love indeed prevailing. And so that's what this is about, you know, letting people know that indeed, okay, this is going on, but by being aware and being responsible, we can be proactive to claim back our power and our divinity and to not allow ourselves to be dumbed down by this. Now, I would like to know, maybe if, Vivian, we can go one at a time again, giving some details as to how HOP does impact, how it attacks individuals, because I, as I said, I did really, really have that question come to me very strongly about if it had something to do with what was happening to me, and then I thought, oh, how ironic that during my walk the other day I saw a bunch of chemtrails all of a sudden. So maybe we could start with Alfred again, what you know, how the details about how HARP actually does target individuals.
Okay, that's a very difficult issue to address. I just want to put out on the table we've got two hours, and at some point I'd like to come and address the exopolitics frame for HARP, and that is HARP in the larger frame of galactic society and universe society, and how the global elite on the planet is trying to keep us from the higher, from our, in our higher consciousness selves, as David and Kathy were saying, from joining a universe society which is waiting for us.
Yes.
But I can relate from a, I think from a scientific perspective, some anecdotes that I've heard from a scientific point of view that may shed some light on how HARP assassination may be carried out. Does that tend to answer your question?
Absolutely, yes, because I thought we did have this type of explanation that might help sort of make this seem a little bit more tangible and not so lofty, as it were. So thank you.
Yeah.
Please go ahead.
Well, I think that and just to really prepare the listeners, I think that this may seem, you know, outlandish to some people, but in terms of some of the monarch experiences that Kathy has described in some of her books and some of her work, and that David has described, it's not so outlandish. And this is an instance reported by independent scientist Lauren Murray from her work in Hawaii. There was a scientist in Hawaii at the University of Hawaii who was working to prevent the attempt to do GMO, genetic modification, of the local indigenous Hawaii vegetables. Now, this is a very narrow market, so it's not that Monsanto was doing it in order to garner a world population, but rather it was because their intent on depopulation of specific indigenous strains of populations around the world, one of which is the Hawaiian population, in order to take over the Hawaiian Islands for the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization. They're doing it with depleted uranium radiation poisoning of the Hawaiian Islands, irradiating Hawaii with depleted uranium and ammunition, which they illegally set off and practiced rain shells. And they're also doing it through GMO of the indigenous food chain. And again, these are native Hawaiian foods. They're ethnic foods only used by the native Hawaiians. And the U.S. illegally annexed Hawaii in the 1890s by co-opting the Hawaiian royal family. So the way that this assassination of this scientist who was exposing this took place was that a picnic was organized by the members of the faculty of the University of Hawaii, along with the students, in which this targeted scientist was a member. The other, at least one other faculty member was in on it, and they went out to a local beach, and this one ringleader faculty member must have had knowledge of it, and he drew back all of the faculty members, and that faculty member went out, and suddenly this standing wave, such as never had been seen, rose up from the ocean, crashed down on the faculty member who was exposing this, and killed him and drew him out to sea. And that standing wave was done by a pinpoint use of the energy of a weaponized ionosphere of a controlled harp in instrumentation. And that's the exact mechanism that they use to achieve over 200 disappearances a year of supertankers, of firms that are inimical to the city of London, that they disappear through hard-caused superwaves throughout the world. So that's how they, one example of how an assassination is used by HARP. Now, many of us who are in the change agent community, present company included, have had to hire experts to put various anti radiation devices in our offices, in our homes. I know that we've had to do it in the Institute for Cooperation in Space, and we hired Dr. John Bush, who's very eminent. He's a dowager, very famous in England, in the UK, and here in Canada, for installing and for being able to protect structures and offices against the influencing of electromagnetics, including microwaves and HARP. So I'm not sure. No, we haven't run any scientific tests, but I know that we're still up and functioning, and on an anecdotal basis, I can let all of the listeners know that chemtrails are laid down directly over our offices. The planes fly directly over our offices and lay down chemtrails directly over our offices so as to maximize the effect of, whatever they're trying to do with us. And I'd like to also verify what David has said about the the transmission of thought and other software via heart. I personally heard at the Nexus conference in Australia at Brisbane a presentation by a former Department of Defense scientist who actually prepared the software for the heart transmitter of precisely that programming software to program the population with direct orders. So
wow.
You know, that's more at the footprint level than at the individual level, but these are just some of the, you know, various direct applications that heart has.
That's quite amazing when you think about it. And Kathy, are you able to share with us your input about what you know, how heart can attack individuals? Whatever you're able to share with us would be lovely.
Well, it's not, I don't know the scientific end of it, the way that it's being explained here. I am aware of the heart. I'm acutely aware of it and other technologies that I was exposed to on a White House Pentagon level. I got quite an insight into some of the technologies that are being used against the population, and it does include HARP. Of course, DARPA. DARPA's technologies are extreme. And awareness is key to being able to make a change, and we need to make that change. Awareness is always the first step towards change. So becoming aware of the scientific details like are coming forth today are important for everyone to be able to empower themselves to be able to make that difference. From my point of view and from what I've seen and experienced, it's a more limited aspect, and it's something that I'm absolutely certain of from my experience and what I've witnessed and what I've experienced to the point where today, Kelly, my daughter Kelly and I might be talking or I may be talking with someone like David, and it becomes clear that this is one of those days when heart is cranked up. You can just feel it. You can feel it in the air. You can see it all around you. The attitude of the people is either subdued. There's something that's off balance in people. Sometimes there's an agitation that's in the air. So I know that heart is used for those particular ways, and they're used that way deliberately. That is a plan that has been put into place through the DARPA technologies for some time to be able to manipulate the minds of the masses. Mass mind control is a reality that has been going on for decades. What happened in Nazi Germany was one aspect of mind control, which now with HARP and other advanced technologies has increased to a point where it's changing society. It's not working, though, because for all of the intelligence and all of the technologies, they've never been able to take into consideration the strength of the human spirit. They cannot affect the human spirit. Therefore, they cannot actually affect the consciousness that is innate to us all. With awareness, we can protect it, and we can strengthen ourselves to be able to not allow HARP and other technologies to affect us, to be able to maintain our free thought and be able to make the positive changes that are actually occurring within the world right now. People look at what's happening in the world today and sometimes and become fearful and, you know, like, oh, this is so awful and it's so horrid. Well, it's been going on for a long time. It's been going on silently, quietly, invisibly behind the scenes for decades. Now that it's finally coming to light, when people are becoming aware that there are things happening such as heart, that is the first step towards positive change. We've got to have that awareness. With this awareness, that's what we're seeing today, is people waking up. We're seeing those things come to light, And out of the darkness of secrecy, where we can finally affect it, where we can finally make those positive changes. The meeting that's going on today that Mark is involved in is one, is a meeting of people from the inside, who have inside views and are making a change from the inside. It seems like, you know, all true change is from within. And whether it's from within government, whether it's from within the scientific community, or whatever, it's always within. When there's that awareness and that strength of spirit, that's where the change begins. And that is what's happening. We're seeing it in this world today. But we've got to continue to raise that awareness and keep people aware of what's happening so we can continue to make the changes. Thank you for making this possibility through your radio show today so that other people can become aware of it.
Well, I feel so honored, and that's really what the whole point is, because of course, those of us who've been to the other side a few times can really attest to the fact that we are indeed infinite consciousness, and that's why I've been very excited to have you with us too, David, because of your wonderful book, Infinite Love is the Only Truth. Everything else is illusion. And, you know, from being on the other side, I saw how that was so, and so this is what I keep holding on to, this truth, and pulling it into my being, because even as you were just describing, Kathy, you know, how one day everything can just seem really in good order and balanced and calm, and then all of a sudden everything changes and there's agitation in the air, and I've been feeling it, and again, I thought, how ironic that right now, whilst I'm taking a walk, as it were, I saw the chemtrails going on, and you know, it's kind of hard not to take it personally and wonder, oh dear, this is just too suspicious for words. And at the same time, I was thinking, you can't touch me. You can maybe make my body feel a little ill, but I know who I am, and I'm very grateful. I don't have a television. I won't have anything to do with television. I don't read newspapers. I just keep myself focused on the light, and whatever information needs to come to me, somehow it does. So, David, I would like to ask you for your input, you know, about some of this too. What you're observing, and I know, of course, that in the UK and in Europe, there's the Tetra thing going on, which I guess is quite related, isn't it?
Well, first of all, I've been to, I think it's 45, 46 countries now, I've been out in places like the outback of South Africa and in very sparsely populated areas, and I've looked up and there are the chemtrails, and, you know, the local people say, you know, yeah, we know about them, the planes come and all the rest of it, the same as we get in America and Europe, so this is a global thing, and, there's a global agenda, but I think we should put this in perspective. And only by understanding the nature of reality that we are experiencing can really it be put in perspective. We live in what I call the holographic internet. We are experiencing a reality which we are decoding. It's a reality which mirrors the wireless internet. In this room where I'm sitting now, is the wireless internet. I'm looking around, I can't see it, no one can see it. But if I get a computer and I tune the computer into the internet, out of the invisible, comes the websites. Comes what? A collective reality. A collective reality which is shared in Australia and South Africa and South America and Europe and Canada and the United States, everywhere. People log into the World Wide Web, they're looking into the collective reality. Where they go in that collective reality, what they make of it, is different, because that's their unique spin on it, but it's the same collective reality. And we are experiencing this holographic world, which we think is solid. Well, I mean, obviously, quantum physics has long pointed out that, you know, the solid world, is made up of atoms which have no solidity, so there's something more to know here. We are actually, the only place this world exists is actually in our minds, as we decode it from an energetic form to this apparently solid, but not so, holographic form. And so what we're talking about in terms of this experienced reality, which we call the physical world, is actually just a micro range of frequencies. I mean, when you think that according to conventional science, of the mass and matter that exists in this universe, the electromagnetic spectrum, they say, is about 0.005% of what they say exists in this universe. Visible light, which is the only frequency range that we can see, is a fraction of the 0.005%. So we're talking about a micro range of frequencies. But within that, all this manipulation is going on, because that's the frequency range that these people can access and manipulate. They can't get into the higher levels of soul consciousness. It's vibrating too quickly for them. And they're vibrating so slowly because of the nature of their state of being. There's no way they can get in and affect that. And, you know, it is not that these people, these manipulators, are all powerful. They're not. Anyone who has the desire for control over, on the scale and to the extent that these people want control over the global population, is manifesting extraordinary, staggering levels of insecurity. It's only insecure people who want control over others. Secure people don't need control to feed their security. They're quite happy to flow with life. So these are deeply, deeply imbalanced and deeply insecure people. And they control and manipulate the human population, not because they're all powerful, but because they've manipulated the human population into a smaller box than they themselves are in. It's not about all powerful and powerless people. It's just about the size of the boxes that that humans and the manipulators are in. And the box they put humans in is this frequency range, which is overwhelmingly decoded as reality and experience by the five senses. And that everything is targeting that level. Food additives are what? They're chemical cocktails to destabilize the body computer receiver transmitter, which on one level is a chemical organism. It's an electrical and electromagnetic organism, and they're targeted on that level through things like HARP and other things. Now, this tells us something. You know, our natural state is multi-leveled infinite consciousness. Just like the natural state of a ball in a tank of water is to float on the top. To put the ball into an unnatural state, you have to push the ball to the bottom of the tank, and then you have to hold it there. Because once you let go, that ball's going to go whoosh back to its natural state, which is floating on the top. And what this manipulation has done, and HARP is very much a part of this in present time, as we call time, is to, through multi different levels and approaches and manipulations, is to symbolically hold us on the bottom of that tank, to hold us in a natural state, which is to isolate our awareness and our sense of reality into the lower senses overwhelmingly. And they've done this, like I say, through multi-level attacks. But it says something. It says something that these people have had to go to such incredible lengths and continue to go to such incredible lengths. They still want the microchip and all the rest of it. To keep us in the unnatural state. It says something about us, that we are a genius, that we are consciousness, we are all possibility, and therefore they have had to work on so many levels for so long, to such extremes, to keep us in this unnatural state. Now, this is why when we look in the mirror, we do not say, "That is me." We say, "That is my experience. I am infinite consciousness having this experience." And what we, how we perceive the physical level of our reality is as an experience of a tiny range of frequencies. But we are consciousness, infinite consciousness. You move your point of observation from I am Ethel Smith or Charlie Jones, and I'm the reflection in the mirror, to I am infinite consciousness, that you move your point of observation, and as you do so, you move your point of awareness. You are now in this world physically, but you're not of it in terms of the point from which you're observing it. And that very move alone, for which all things come, transforms not only your view of yourself and the world that you are living in, or apparently living in, it transforms your vibrational state. And once you start to vibrate quicker, you start, and your point of observation has moved beyond the five sense level into higher levels of consciousness, you are moving your awareness and your point of observation and increasing your vibrational state out of that micro group of frequencies that these people are targeting and can only target because of their own vibrational limitations. So this is the game. The idea is to isolate people experiencing through the physical body from their higher consciousness, to then control the information that lower, if you like, computer body consciousness receives through the media and education and all the rest of it, with a fake reality and fake self-identity. And that pulls people into a vibrational level of awareness and experience, which is in that frequency range, that micro frequency range that they can actually manipulate. Basically, they're like a Pied Piper pulling you into their stadium where they control the rules, at least they have up to now. And so the consciousness shift, the awakening to the full magnitude of who we are, moves us out of their stadium. We leave the area that they have any influence in terms of our reality. And you know, everyone to their own. I tell you this, I have never in my life once protected myself against any of this stuff, protected myself against any of these people. I have never done it. I will never do it, because I am infinite consciousness. And I don't do bodyguards, and I don't do protection from people who are of the level of desperate insecurity and stupidity. You know, you can be clever and still be stupid, but these manipulators are. So I'm infinite consciousness. I don't need to protect myself against people of that level or anything else come to that. I am all possibility. I will decide my destiny. I will decide when I leave this place. And when I don't, not some group of idiots who are so desperately insecure that they have to try to control everything. They couldn't watch a football match in peace and security, unless they know the score before the game starts. That's the level of insecurity we're dealing with. They're pathetic. Nothing to be frightened of. But we have to wake up and leave the area, the tiny area, that they can manipulate us through.
Well, this is such a wonderful point, David, and I really want to thank you for this, because, again, as you were describing this, I was thinking of the time of my near-death episode and the profound peace and awareness that I experienced each time. And I know, Kathy, you're a fellow NDE, and
yeah,
I'm sure that all of this makes sense to you as well.
Absolutely.
And what's interesting is that even after I came back into the physical plane after my near-death state, first of all, they're a wonderful wake-up call, as it were, or a reminder of who I really am. And so that peace stayed with me when I came back into this plane, because I knew that, number one, I could see very clearly, indeed, this plane is a hologram. And number two, I was given the specific assignment to indeed just traverse through this plane, but not to identify with it or to become involved. And I was feeling so grateful, because I'm not plugged in and I don't plan to be. And I love what you've just said too, David, that, you know, you don't have bodyguards or anything. You're just trusting in the divine perfection and the light that you are. But that's protecting you, and you're going to be just fine. So this is a wonderful, wonderful example to live by, because, you know, again, I don't think millions of us, and I do quite literally mean millions of us in the ears, have come back to this plane. And I think that a huge part of this is to share the fact that we are indeed infinite consciousness, that we are not minute, helpless little beings, and certainly not sinful and all of that malarkey. We're all divine light. So go ahead and share with us more about some of your experiences with this, because I think it's critical that people understand that even though, you know, there's attack on this very small range of frequency, that we are so beyond that. And how would you advise people to keep focused on the love, on the truth of who they are, Kathy?
Oh, David, you just spoke that so eloquently, so beautifully. You just described my whole life experience, just a word or two and wrapped it up into the ultimate of what it, the awareness of it all is. And that is that we are infinite love. We are the ultimate strength. They cannot touch it. They cannot touch the strength of the human spirit. I know from my experience under mind control that no amount of torture, no amount of mind programming could ever give them access to the very essence of my being, my spirit, that infinite love. And knowing that and having experienced that, I too don't feel any need to protect myself from a harp or any other things like that, because only love can come to me. When I woke up from mind control and gained awareness again and had conscious thought and the ability to have free thought, free will, ultimately soul expression, I found my identity, who I am, true to soul. And who I am true to soul is love, as the love energy, infinite love. And knowing that is such an exciting simplicity. It all comes down to that infinite love is the only reality. Therefore, only love can come to me. Why should I accept a vibration that is not of mine? Why should I accept a vibration that's not me? They cannot affect it. They couldn't affect it through torture. They couldn't affect it through DARPA's technologies. They couldn't affect it through the most sophisticated mind control manipulations they have available. They couldn't affect it through fear. They could not touch the human spirit, because the human spirit is pure truth. It is pure love. It is infinite love. And that is where we all stand to win. We just simply need to be aware that that is where our strength is, and not allow ourselves to be clouded by misinformation, disinformation, fear, terror, or any other kind of mind-numbing attempts that these shallow, insecure people are trying to put on us. We simply don't need to accept it, because love is the most powerful force in the universe, and we are infinite love. That's everything. That's all we need to know. Infinite love is the only reality. David, you said it so well. You always do. You can take a world of information and just roll it up into a few words that says it all. And I love you dearly. Julia, I love you, and I appreciate so much this opportunity to share in this show. I need to get back to my meeting at this point, so I'll just leave the rest of this information in such good hands with Alfred and David and you. I know that awareness will continue to rise, and I just thank you for the opportunity to join in at all. This is just beautiful. Thank you. David, thank you. I love you dearly.
Bye, Kathy.
It's so wonderful to have you with us, Kathy. And you're such a beautiful, shining example of the power and triumph of love. And, my dear, have a wonderful meeting. And please give my love to Mark and Kelly. And I'm certainly with you in spirit. We'll have to talk again soon. Thank you so
Absolutely.
Much for being with us.
Yes, thank you so much.
Okay, love. Blessings to you. And this is really wonderful because, again, in a lot of the articles that I've been writing lately, I've been really encouraging people it's important that we raise our vibrational frequency into that of love, because, again, you've pointed out, David, that, and as we all know, everything is about energy, everything is about frequency. So when we raise our vibrational frequency up into love, then these energies, these entities can't touch us because they are on a much lower vibrational frequency. That's why this information is so important, because we are dealing with the multiple dimensions and frequencies. We need to get out of this flat world syndrome, and the world is not flat, and there isn't just one dimension of reality, not by any means. And so that's why all of us near-death experiences have come back and said, guess what? We are infinite love, and I've had this experience directly. And I am sorry that the term unconditional love or any of this, unfortunately, has become such a cliche. But when I use these words, I am coming from a place of experience, and it's something that is very real indeed, and it really does make a difference in our lives. So, Alpha, would you like to share with us more of what you said that you wanted to bring up a little bit earlier in the show? We've certainly got time for this, and I want to share all the information that we can.
Yes, right. Well, what I wanted to bring in was just a larger perspective to HAARP, and I think it builds on what David and what Kathy were saying, and it's more of the exopolitical and the cosmic perspective within which HAARP sits, and within which this attempt to cut us off from our higher consciousness sits. And the first is, and I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with this, but we're now on a countdown to alignment with the galactic center, which is a large black hole at the center of the galaxy, about 4,000 times the weight of our sun. And the Mayans had a word for it, which is Unapku. And by some calculations, we'll be in full alignment with it by October 28th. 2011. Other dates are in December 2012. Now, there are significances to that, because as you know, from a subjective standpoint, time appears to be accelerating, and in fact, it is. There is a steady acceleration in time as we approach alignment with the galactic center, and that's a scientific standpoint, because it is through time the galactic center, the black hole of the galactic center, regulates time in our galaxy. And the various scientists have mapped out gradations in our approach to the galactic center, so that precisely much of what we feel now, the various stages in our elevation of consciousness and the various stages of resistance to our elevation of consciousness, one of the tools of which is HAARP, can be measured and predicted by keeping in mind how far along we are in this in nearness to the alignment. And so that, for example, science now knows, and these are very recent discoveries. For example, science only discovered that there was a black hole at the center of this galaxy a few years ago, and it was only recently that science discovered that, in fact, there are black holes at the center of each galaxy. And you can think of a black hole as a giant ancient stargate at the center of each galaxy, i.e., it's a multidimensional stargate into another universe. So there, all of a sudden, all of these windows begin to open up. And our particular black hole began to get active in 1999. There, if you go, there's the work of Dr. Paul LaViolette, who shows that every 26,000 years or so, the center of our galaxy becomes active. It's like a giant volcano, and on that periodicity, and on the 11,500-year cycle, half of that is when we tend to have the great Earth changes. So in 1999, our galaxy began to, the black hole at the center of our galaxy, from a science point of view, began to become active. And from a Mayan calendar point of view, the calendar being a Pleiadian technology given to the Mayans, if you break down the time period between 1999 and, say, February, the beginning of 2011, that is a time period where humanity starts to become galactically aware. In other words, aware that not only that they are planetary beings, but that they are galactic beings. And so that is a time period in which HARP, which was first turned on July 4th, 1976, and which is a joint Russian-Soviet and U.S. project, really came into full swing in the late 90s. So with a time acceleration, there will be as much change between 1999 and the beginning of 2011, there will be 20 times as much change in humanity's affairs between February 2011 and October 28, 2011, as there was between January of 1999 and the beginning of 2011. And HARP, to carry David's point further, is that instrument of the one instrument of the resistance to our going galactic. In other words, within the larger exopolitical framework. If we take this further into sort of the gradations that the calendric, the Mayan calendar sets out, the period between November 2007 and November 12, 2008, which is just a month from today, that's what we call the fifth night of the galactic underground. The galactic underground being the period between 1999 and the beginning of 2011. That's the period of the galactic influence. Humanity really starts thinking those galactic thoughts. That's where exopolitics comes in. Exopolitics being the new political science of outer space, the science of relations between our human civilization and other intelligent civilizations in the universe. Well, the fifth night, which is that year between November 2007 and November 2008, is the period in which the financial forces of the old order attempt to gain control. So we can use that as a predictive mechanism for the themes, and that's why we're looking at the crashing of the world, of the world financial order now. But on the flip side of it, the world financial order is crashing because it's built on deceit and lies.
Absolutely.
So from a cosmic perspective, as David says, there's nothing to fear from harm, because this entire system is by the time that we begin to reach full alignment with the galactic center, either at the end of October or 2011 or thereabouts, or as we go through 2012, we're actually going to be stabilizing in a higher frequency zone. And that's where this entire reality, the whole military-industrial complex, which is now a virtual complex, that is, they don't really exist, will actually disappear and will no longer exist because they cannot exist in these higher frequencies. And that is what is true, what is underlyingly true, closer to our soul reality will manifest. And so, but now we can posit that much more from a scientific perspective by beginning to pin it on phenomena that we can measure, such as our entry into the photon belt, which will happen on or about the end of October 2011. So all of the things that we're seeing now in the phenomenological world, which, as David so aptly says, all of that story will begin to disappear by the action of the frequencies emanating from the galactic center. So there's that tremendous tool. It's what I like to call the stratification of consciousness. And some analysis says that we're actually approaching almost a stratification in which there are different paths of consciousness, and there may be actually two or more different planets. and there are different schools of thought, and that is that at some stage, those entities that are really addicted to war, disease, crime, and poverty, and that sort of approach, will end up in a different dimension of reality on a different planet. And those souls that are more life-affirming and more upper dimensionally oriented will be living in another dimensional planet. And all of this will be happening in relatively short order as we approach alignment with the galactic center. That, in turn, is very much connected to bring in the exopolitics standpoint. And this is where I find that there is the prime resistance. For example, I think, Juliet, you saw in that email that I sent you some of the prime resistance that I found that we encountered to our participation in this program. There was an individual who was an employee for a 20-year employee of Fabio Marti, who was a CIA-funded Voice of America program against Castro, who was detailed to put out a lot of libel and slander against David and Kathy, and to spread that throughout the internet, and to say, how could I participate in this program? And so I had to spend the last week or so, in a whole email battle, and finally end up exposing him as the CIA spy. So these are the sort of things that we encounter along the way, but with the emerging galactic energies and the higher frequencies, that little guy didn't stand a chance, because he's exposed. And David, we took a great deal of umbrage because the Canadian Jewish Congress banned one of your books from the Vancouver Public Library, and I'm an old civil liberties lawyer, so that really raised my hackles. So we've really been to battle over last week to ensure that free speech could occur on this program, and to ensure that all Canadians can have access to your works here in Canada and to your words.
Well, thanks very much, Alfred. I always find it amazing that people are frightened of information. If information doesn't stand up, then in the light of the public spotlight, it will be shown not to have validity, but to say that people must not have the ability to even see it or filter it and decide what they want to think of it is not the act of certainly someone who believes in freedom, but nor is it the act of someone who is confident that the information they're seeking to suppress will be dismissed by the public in the way that they would like it dismissed. So rather than take that chance, let's stop the public getting it in the first place. That's the way the censorship goes. And there's tremendous censorship attempts in Canada, and to a very extraordinary level, to the point where I cannot remember, it must be six times now, the last six times I've come into Canada, that I've been stopped at the border, sometimes for hours, and sometimes coming back the next day by customs and excise and going through my stuff and what have you. Because I'm on the computer. When one of these guys went out of the room one day, I went around and looked at his computer, and it said David Icke watchful on the passenger list. So, and people in Canada will think, the general population, like everywhere else in the Western world, will think they're free, but it's an illusion. I must say, I was very interested in that whole explanation that you gave, because great chunks of it absolutely fit with the themes that I've been following in my life and my work since it started, really, because back in 1990, when I was a television presenter with the BBC and a national spokesman for the British Green Party, I had some very strange, what you might call paranormal experiences, but they're not paranormal at all. They're just experiences on a level that mainstream society doesn't accept, and therefore it becomes paranormal. Part of that was going to see a psychic in 1990 to try to get some understanding of why for months and months and months when I was in a room alone there seemed to be some presence there with me, which got stronger and stronger. And I went to see the psychic, and loads of things came out which absolutely shocked me, because I'm introduced in sports programs and news programs and talking about the dangers to the environment at the time. And suddenly this psychic lady is telling me in 1990 that I was going to go out on a world stage and reveal great secrets, and there was a completely different explanation to what was happening in the world to the one that people were getting and all the rest of it, which seemed ridiculous at the time, but it's kind of happened. And one aspect of that in March 1990 was that there was going to be what was described, using the words of the psychic, who is decoding, of course, thought forms into human language, so, it can sometimes come out in the way that they see the world rather than absolutely 100% the way it's given. But she talked about the fact that she was being told to tell me that there was going to be a spiritual revolution in my lifetime, and this was going to be brought about by a vibrational change. And I, at the time, knew nothing whatsoever about the Mayan information and 2011, 2012, and all that stuff. But I must say, at the time, in 1990, there was absolutely no evidence that I could see of some spiritual revolution. But over the last nearly 20 years now, I've seen it. And I've seen it gather and gather and gather and gather. I've seen people who not so long ago had minds of concrete when it came to opening them to anything outside the norm, who are now really into this stuff, and that the change has been so vast. It's kind of, it takes you aback when you see people transform in terms of their vision of perception and reality. And so I can go along with a lot of what Alfred was saying, and also this. You know, I've been saying for a few years now, quite a few years, that my feeling was that this panic-stricken race to introduce the Orwellian global state with things like HAARP and microchipping people and DNA databases, which is to give them your absolutely individual vibrational code, because we operate within a range of frequencies, but we each, through our uniqueness, are broadcasting our own unique broadcast code as well, a broadcast frequency, if you like, and the DNA gives them that understanding so they can target you directly. All these things connect. But this explosion, I feel, you know, energetically coming from it, this panic to impose this Orwellian state and this mass global control, I don't even think is designed to gather more control primarily. It is to defend the control that they already have from this vibrational change. And this is why, you know, I feel strongly that HAARP and many other different elements, including the food and drink additives which destabilize the receiver-transmitter system of a electrochemical entity, if you hit it with electrochemical disruption, you're going to make far more inefficient an electrochemical entity. It's pretty obvious. And they're trying to create a sub-frequency, like a sub-world, vibrational world, in the energy field that we are living in, to try to, I think Alfred used the word, and I would agree with it, defend this reality, this illusion, this manipulation, from the awakening that this vibrational change is bringing. It's almost an attempt to hold the ocean back as the tide comes in, if you want to bring it down to a simple level. And they're trying to do it, and they're trying to throw everything at it, but I've not yet seen anyone that could stop the tide coming in when he wanted to come in, and I think that's the problem.
Well, I think that especially right now in these times, I think just at the beginning of this decade, for example, how there's been such an avalanche of near-death experiences coming back and sharing their information. It's just again, in this decade, I think, become very, very widespread. So I think it's a powerful source of encouragement for people because, again, we're speaking from a place of authority that we have directly experienced planes beyond the physical five-sensory world of perceived reality. And also the fact that, you know, the people are waking up and these challenges are occurring at this time. I see this as a tremendous opportunity for the power of the light to really ultimately be revealed, because these people having their tantrums, and usually kids and people get pretty blink and silly when they start having their tantrums and they can't really think straight and they still really don't know what they're doing. It's going to show us what works versus what doesn't work. And so even though there's a lot of panic in the air and a lot of upset. I keep trying to encourage people as well, but this isn't really real. And again, whilst I was on the other side, I didn't experience one trace of fear or foreboding or feeling threatened or anything like that. I was assured that everything is evolving exactly the way it should and that indeed only love will prevail. And that's why I keep repeating that, because it is the absolute truth. So what would you advise, David, about, you know, how people are behaving right now? How can we encourage them not to be caught up in this frequency of fear? Because I know pushing buttons on it, you know.
When it comes down to it, it's like Einstein said, there are many different versions of this, but the one I like is you cannot solve problems with the same level of consciousness that created them.
And, excellent, yes.
We will only change this world in a way that makes it a paradise rather than a prison when we change consciousness, because as we shift consciousness, then that consciousness projects a very different reality and we live in a very different world. And the idea is to manipulate the population into the lower vibrational emotional states of fear, hate, guilt, fear of tomorrow, fear of the unknown, and all the rest of it, which by nature pulls people into this micro range of frequencies that they can access. I mean, once you move your point of observation from I am Ethel Jones to I am infinite consciousness, having an experience of Ethel Jones, everything changes. Everything changes. Your vibrational changes. Everything changes. And it's that change of self-identity that is, for me, all I can say is, for me, that change of self-identity is the biggest transformation generator that I think I've come across. And there's another one, the powerful energy of intent. When we put out intent, if that energy will always draw back to us what we need to achieve that intent. And often people lose the plot at this stage because they put out the intent. They want to be spiritual. They want to awaken. They want to be all that they can be and all the rest of it. And then suddenly into their lives comes things they don't like, come people they don't like, come experiences they don't like. And they think, well, it's all gone wrong. It's not happening because I should be spiritual now. But what intent does all the time, not when there's an R in the month, every time, is draw back to us in this vibrational magnetism, as I call it, what we need to achieve that intent. Now, the reason that people are not expressing the full magnitude of who they are is because they are encased in a programmed belief systems. And programmed beliefs act like vibrational walls that entrap us in like concrete vibrational fields called religious beliefs, political beliefs, cultural beliefs, and all the rest of it. And it disconnects us from an awareness of the greater self, because so many people, of course, when they come across information, the belief will edit the information or dismiss the information by reflex action if the information is at odds with the belief system that they have. There's this thing called cognitive dissonance, which is very, very powerful in understanding the nature of human behavior. And if people haven't come across it, cognitive dissonance is that stress state of unease that people go into when their belief and their experience or new information they've come across are at odds, because the two have to be squared to ease the unease and the stress of having that contradiction. Now, what the few do, increasingly more and more, mind, is that they bring those two things together. They bring those contradictions together by saying, hold on a second, maybe my belief is not quite what it should be, because in the light of this information, of this experience, this belief doesn't seem to stand up. And so they come together, and just because they evolve the belief in the light of the new information and the experience, what most people still do is that when they're in that contradiction state between belief, experience, or new information, they then make defense of the belief as the absolute priority, and nothing's going to change that, which means they then have to square it by finding an explanation for the experience or the new information that will allow the belief to stand. And that's when you get literally people lie to themselves. They talk about we must have our freedoms taken away so that we can protect our liberties. I've heard people say that. That's cognitive dissonance. Squaring the experience of having freedoms taken away with the belief that the government is there to protect freedoms, because this is America or whatever, and we're the freest country in the world and all the rest of it. And so letting go of those beliefs is crucial to allowing your consciousness and your point of observation to move. Now, that's when you put out the intent, I want to transform, I want to be all that I am. That's when intent brings to us people, experiences, etc., that we don't like. But what are they doing? They're putting the beliefs, they're putting all these perceptions of self and the world that are holding us in these eggshells, these concrete eggshells, and they're putting them straight in our face where we have to face them. And you know, life has this wonderful ability to disguise your greatest gift as your worst nightmare. This to me,
yes.
Many times has done it to me.
Yes.
But as a result, something has gone that was holding me back, and my mind could expand, my consciousness could expand more as a result of it. So it's important that when people start this journey of awakening, of breaking down the limitations and the belief systems that are holding them in servitude, that they don't think that, you know, people are going to be playing violins and little nymphs and butterflies are going to be dropping on their shoulder necessarily. But to understand that what is happening as their lives in the experience of them start to break down, maybe relationships end, maybe they lose their job, whatever, that what they're seeing break down is not their life. It is the projection of experience generated by the previous belief system. As you're seeing your outer life, for want of a phrase, breaking down, what you're actually looking at are tangible, if you like, physical confirmation that your belief system, your previous sense of reality is breaking down, and as it does so, your life changes and something else comes through to move in to replace the previous life. And that is a reflection of the new sense of reality that you're going into as these belief systems break down. Now, this started to happen to me 20 years ago, probably more than before that, you know, in terms of it happening unconsciously, but consciously it started to happen about 20 years ago. And I feel fortunate, really, that it happened then, because I've been able to, it happened to me and people like me at the time, certainly to me, and I was in complete bewilderment of what was happening, which made it more difficult, I guess, because, you know, people have been through it and they can now help others understand what's happening. But I say lucky in the sense that this has been through this 20-year period that I've been through this process, and it's an ongoing thing. I mean, anyone thinks they're fully awakened is just confirming they're not. But people now, as Alfred talked about, this speeding up, are going to be asked to go through this process in shorter and shorter periods. And so they need to have as much information about the nature of what's happening as possible to allow them to see that it's a very positive thing that's happening. The life they didn't like before, it's breaking down. Celebrate it. Because something greater can then come and take its place, and that's the opportunity that we're having here. And while the world seems such a terrible, frightening, and dangerous place in the playing out of it, what is happening in a funny sort of way, collectively, is a collective version of what I've just described. The old world of structure and top-down hierarchical structures of power, of control by the few of the many, although in the playing out of it, it seems to be getting worse. Actually, what we're seeing is the breaking down of the mentality, the collective consciousness, which has generated and allowed to be generated a world of top-down hierarchical structures of power, because they can only be created when the mass of the population are in a mental state where they feel they have to give their power away to others because they do not have the power to impose their desires on their own lives or live their own lives on the basis of their own consciousness and their own decisions and their own ability to create their reality. They have to give it away to the few because they're more powerful than me and because they're higher up there and they've got letters after their name and all this stuff. Once you get into that mode, society must, from that consciousness, collective consciousness state, create hierarchical structures of power. We're now in the time as we take our power back, more and more people, basically the house of cards, the pyramid house of cards, because that's what it is, because we're holding it together, is starting to come undone. It's not the majority yet. There's a long way to go, but it's starting to come undone as more and more people become aware of the game. You know, illusions only control you when you think they're real. And games only control you if you don't know the bloody rules of the game you're playing, and the other side does, if you like. All this is now beginning to be addressed and be sorted. Again, not the vast majority yet, but enormous numbers, and ever gathering on an exponential curve, numbers of people every day are starting to awaken more and more. And it's a time of great challenge, but it's a wonderful time of opportunity. And a wonderful time of experience, and let's embrace it, not be frightened of it, nothing to be frightened of. We're infinite consciousness, we're all possibility, we're everything that is, has, and ever will be, I don't see anything to be frightened given that situation, really. It's when you fall into body consciousness and you think you're Charlie Jones or Ethel Smith, that's when you can get into fear of death and fear of consequences, not when you realize there are no consequences in the end because everything is one.
And that's the big one right there too, David, is that a lot of people are still so afraid of death, as it were. And it's really odd that even after speaking to a few individuals, although gratefully this doesn't happen a lot, but it has happened where, you know, even after speaking with someone, he knows I'm a multiple near-death experiencer, and then he'll look at me and just straight say to me, face, and when you die, that's the end of the story. Nothing happens after that. And I just said, how can you say that after you were speaking with someone who's come back from the dead a few times? You know, so many people are really locked into this mindset that the computer body, the physical plane, as it were, is the only plane of existence. And of course, that starts at death. So
well,
now
the thing is, once you give your power
it.
Away, of course,
yes.
And you think in terms of little me, that means that anyone who is perceived to be on a higher level than you, i.e. a scientist or a doctor or whatever, they become higher up the hierarchy of intelligence and knowing in your mind. And thus, when they sing from the song sheet and say, you know, there is no life after death and all the rest of it, then you believe it because they know better than me. This is what happens when the hierarchical consciousness is at large. As we take it back, we realize that whether you're a doctor or a scientist or Bill Jones sweeping the streets, you have the same potential access to infinite knowledge. And you don't need a letter after your name. You don't need a smart suit. You just need an open mind, an open heart, and therefore a connection to the knowledge that is available for everybody.
Absolutely. Once again, a perfect example of that is the myriad of NDEers who've come from all cultures and walks of life and have been transformed as a result of these experiences. So I think that this has been a very, very important part of this process for being able to share with people, you know, we don't die, we can't die, there's no such thing, because we are all a part of that light source and indeed can never be separated from it. And again, I'm speaking from experience, that's why I'm an EXPD, thank you very much. You know, the experience is the true teacher, the true educator, the true space of acquiring knowledge and wisdom. And I would totally resonate with you that it's not by going to some university or reading a book, although there's, you know, in a way nothing wrong. I'm reading books all the time, but that's on top of the experiences. That's not in lieu of the experiences. So, Alfred, what would you like to share? Well, goodness me, this is flying by. It's such a wonderful opportunity to share with this. What would you like to say about some of these events, situations that we're dealing with, and how to handle it? What are you doing? What are you thinking about this right now?
Yeah. Well, you know, just as a component of this process of ascension and acceleration that we're all going through, I believe is the process of integration with the rest of organized society, organized intelligent society in the universe. And what exopolitics shows us is that we've been an isolated quarantine planet. There's some very interesting reasons for that. And that we are quite special. David's certainly right about that. And human beings are extraordinary. We're kind of the cosmic library. And we are now in a period, perhaps the culminating point of this process of alignment with the galactic center and elevation into this new frequency range, into this new dimension that some of the indigenous traditions like the Hopi call the fifth world, people in the spiritual traditions call it the fifth dimension. It can be called the galactic neighborhood. and that is that one of the preconditions of our being able to coexist and understand other intelligent life-bearing worlds is that we have to come up to their level of consciousness, not that they have to come down to ours. So some of the typical fifth-dimensional worlds that we know of that are contiguous to ours in the galaxy may be the Arcturians, for example. And we know from Arcturian telepaths that there is a very large upper dimensional integrated plan, higher plan, for the birth of planet Earth into its new dimensional home within interplanetary society, and that the Arcturian lightships, for example, there are some Arcturian motherships that are surrounding planet Earth that are the size themselves of a planet. And these function these have very salutary effects on planet Earth in terms of keeping it stable and counteracting, part of the reasons why we don't have nuclear wars, part of the reasons why you don't have these, some of the dirty tricks of trying to get Earth changes going are counteracted. So we're in a condition of what some of the sacred texts call evolutionary over-control. And what we can look forward to from an exopolitic standpoint, and, you know, this is science based. We can begin to show this with the same precision that we show in the other social sciences. That we can and will begin to interface with other intelligent civilizations that are here visiting us now. They're parked in adjacent dimensions. There's actually a shooting war going on now led by the U.S. Space Command, but that's shortly going to be over. We're about to enter Earth's Universal Age. So there is an enormous future before us, and I for one really look forward to that era of interplanetary and interdimensional travel, habitation, exploration. Humanity is a spacefaring species, and that's the future economic and social engine of the human race. And we are about to, you know, this is the honorary chairman of our board is Sir Arthur C. Clarke, who passed away this past year. But one of his books was Childhood's End. And that's the story that will be writ over the next, say, decade, to be generous. And I think that's our story. We're about to come alive. We are actually birthing out into a populated society, which is waiting for us. So that's what I'd like to share. That's the goal and the end result. And you know, what David has mentioned is a very insecure people. Well, you know, why don't they just give up and enjoy the ride and birth into the fifth world also? Get bored, kicking and screaming all the way.
One of the things that's happening, which Kathy touched on earlier, is that when you look at the power structures that have been created, the pyramid structures with the few at the top, the few at the top and the many at the bottom are holding the few at the top up there. And if we stopped doing it, then they wouldn't be up there. There'd be a very loud bang. But the point is that those who are manipulating in full knowledge of what they are doing and the goal to which they are aiming and the reason they're doing it for are tiny compared with the global population. What they need to play it out is, first of all, the global population to police each other, which humans do brilliantly. People get locked into this power structure where they put a uniform on and they think they have some power. They don't have any power at all. The uniform has the power. And the uniform is the symbol of the structure. Once they take the uniform off or leave the job, their power's gone because the power was in the wardrobe, not in them. But they love these power trips and so many levels of society. We police each other. The religions police their congregation and all the rest of it. But above that is what I call the middle management of the pyramid, which takes the agenda from the few who know the full deal of what they're doing and passes it down through the administrative structure to the people where those in uniform enforce it. So it's a very, very vulnerable pyramid structure when only the few at the top know the real game. And those in the middle management structure that are essential to the agenda playing out also have children and grandchildren and families who are increasingly having to live in this Orwellian world that is unfolding on that level. And as they become aware of what the game is, which they're being compartmentalized from the knowledge of what they're actually playing a part in, then the whole structure begins to crumble, because the agenda comes down from the top and then stops being played out increasingly, because the people at that level say, I can see what's going on now, I'm not doing this anymore. And I do know from my own experience that more and more of these middle management level people, if you like, in the pyramid, are beginning to understand the game that they've been playing, which until now they had no idea what the actual end goal was. And when they do, I mean, I had someone recently who was from that echelon who started to speak out expose this. When he looked in the eyes, he said, of his four-year-old granddaughter, and thought, oh my goodness me, she's going to have to live in the world that's unfolding, and I'm playing a part in. And this is a real powerful way of bringing the pyramid structure down, when these middle management people stop playing the game.
Well, I know our time is just about up, but one comment that I would like to share with about all of this is that it seems that, and it has been pointed out by the wonderful producers of the Zeitgeist film, that all of this is based on a structure of scarcity and imposed scarcity or lack. But again, as one has been to the other side a number of times, you know, I discovered that there is no such thing as lack or scarcity, even though I haven't got much of a bank account, but who cares really? But the fact is that there is, as you said, Dave, an infinite possibility and infinity, period, of what's available to us. So I think that the more people can come to understand the truth about infinite possibility, and that consciousness is infinite, and that we cannot, and I will repeat, we cannot die no matter what. We just get rid of an old piece of clothing. Who cares? We remain alive and intact and conscious and in love. And this is the really important thing that I do want to stress here, because I'm excited about what's going on, even though it's a bit unnerving. It really is going to, I think they're going to burn themselves out. They're going to undo themselves, because people are waking up. And I'm just so pleased and grateful that you lads and Kathy joined us. I'm sorry that Mark couldn't, but I know he's been very busy, and he's also been having some surgery done too. Bless him. Did you want to make one statement before we close for this transmission of Toward the Light? Alfred, did you have anything that you'd like to say in closing, lad?
Well, just to thank you and to thank David. And Kathy for this.
I think someone's engaged, Alfred, but I think
it's now. Good, yeah. What I was going to say is that today, October 20th, is supposed to be a special gateway. It's supposed to be a special dimensional gateway in that process toward the galactic center. So I think that you chose a very propitious day. And may our words and our insights, all of us collectively here, go out in to the universe, and may all of us, have opened up a good deal of consciousness today.
I would just say, be happy. Everything else is detail. Everything else is diversion. And we need to stop trying to be happy. But otherwise, we're never happy, because we're always trying to be. And instead of trying to be, let's just be happy, which we can be if we withdraw our point of observation from the nonsense to the level that can see the nonsense from a totally different perspective. So be happy and be loving. It's a simple, trite thing, but